This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message that was given to the church that I serve when they celebrated their 175th anniversary as a church. Most churches, according to one article I've read, don't last more than 50, 60 years on average, and they're gone, and they become a gift shop or a community center, a school for music or something like that. So for a church today to last 175 years is no small thing. We spoke to the congregation out of the book of Isaiah, a word to a 175-year-old church. You say, what's that got to do with me? Everything. Because the advice that Isaiah gave speaks to you and to me about what's going on in our lives and our relationship with the God of eternity. God bless you as you listen today and all this week.
And I found a passage of scripture that I think in Isaiah 63 speaks several messages to a church 175 years old, because it speaks to you no matter what your age. There are things that you need to do in your life, in your marriage, and in your family. I'd like to read it. It's Isaiah 63, beginning at verse 7. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. In his love and mercy he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. The Lord has carried this church. That's what I want you to go home with, if nothing else, for 175 years old. For 175 years. Not just the offerings of this church, which are very important, but the Lord has carried this church. And then verse 10, which is a very frightening verse. Yet God's people rebelled against the Lord, and they grieved his Holy Spirit. So God turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. A verse that some probably would say, I wish you had left that verse out. Listen to it again. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. I want to share with you something today, that God has done something for this congregation, just as God has done something for your family. And one of the most therapeutic things that we can do as a family, as a married couple, as a school, as an organization, as a church, whatever, is to thank God for his kindnesses to us. That's the very first verse I read, verse 7. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. You are either known as a person who talks about the kindnesses of the Lord, or you're a person who talks about all the injustices that have been done to you. Your scorekeeper. I really believe that. It's pretty simple. That we either say, here's what God has done for our marriage, here's what God has done for our children, here's what God has done for our family, or we can recount with detail and perfect recall and total recall all the negative things. I'm convinced that Satan wants you to begrudge everything that's come your way. Satan wants to plant the seed in your mind. Well, what's God done for you lately? Well, I know he did this 10 years ago, but what did he do for you last week? And I think it's interesting, the first message I would give to a 175-year-old church today is verse 7, to tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us.
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a standalone message from the book of Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, lessons to a 175-year-old church. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Cross Hope.
Lord's done a lot for your life, whether you know it or not. I'm convinced in heaven we're going to find out things that the Lord did for us that we had no knowledge of. We're going to find out ways that we were protected. We're going to find out things that, you know, the Lord did that spared us in a situation. I really believe that. it's really not a positive thing. Annie probably would say, I don't think you should tell the story, but I think of it a lot in my life. There was a time when I first met Annie, she said, would you like to go flying with my brother, who's a pilot? And I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. I was in college. And it's a horrible memory for me to this day, even though I didn't realize it at the time. Through a weird set of circumstances, I came within inches of walking into a moving propeller of a plane. I'd never flown before. My brother-in-law screamed from the cockpit. I couldn't have heard him, but I was walking right toward the moving propeller. And he said, all you did, you walked right up to it, and then you stopped and you walked another direction. I have to believe that my life was spared. I mean, you can say anything you want, just a good luck situation. No, I didn't find that out till years later. That's my point. I didn't know it that day. They told me years later when my brother-in-law said, you don't realize how close you came to dying that day. You have no idea. And there are things that I think we're going to find out in eternity where the Lord has spared you. Spared you and spared you. I really believe that. I will tell of the kindnesses. Look at verse 8. He said, surely they are my people, sons and daughters, I would add to that, who will not be false to me. So he became their Savior. God has always had a people. You know, the chosen people in the Old Testament were the Israelites, and the New Testament talks about God's chosen people, and guess who they are? The body of Christ. That's no small thing. As God's chosen people, Paul said in Colossians, here's what you're to be. As God's chosen people. God's always had a people. And I want to let you in on a little secret. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and you have accepted him into your life and obeyed him, I'm going to tell you something. You're God's people. You're part of the family, and so am I. Do you realize God's always had a people, sons and daughters, who will not be false to me? What does that mean? What is it that makes a husband to his wife? What is it that makes a wife to her husband? Most people would say, we got a piece of paper. We got this marriage license, Randy, and that's the document. No, you know what makes you a husband to your wife or a wife to your husband? That you're true to that person. That's the person you're loyal to. That's the person you're faithful to. That's the distinguishing mark of a relationship. And God is looking for churches, and God is looking for families, and God is looking for individual people that will not be false to him, meaning pretending one thing but doing another. Has it ever hurt you in your life where somebody pretended to be one way and then you found out they were just the opposite? Has that ever happened in a family situation? Sure. You ever had a friend at work, somebody at school, who pretended to be one way, but they were false to you? They talked out of both sides of their mouth. They told you something, but told somebody something else. That's being false to people. And God says, surely they are my people who will not be false to me, and I will become their Savior.
Well, part three of this message will air tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. We've told you recently about a new feature on our website called Visual Stories. It's worth looking at even today. That's crosshope.org. God bless you. Well, I don't know what you think about the subject of angels. That's a pretty scary thing to some people, or it's a pretty ridiculous thing to others. Yet in verse 9 of Isaiah 63, it says, in their distress, God was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. We're going to talk about that today in continuation of a message we're calling A Message to a 175-Year-Old Church. God bless you as you listen to part 3 today.
I love the third one. It's in verse 9. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of his presence. What an interesting phrase. I want to talk about that. God is distressed when you're distressed, meaning he feels and understands what we feel. I think that's one of the most important attributes of the Lord for people to understand. God is not in heaven as some unfeeling creator who doesn't feel anything. When you're distressed, he's distressed. When you grieve, he's grieved. That's the kind of compassionate God we serve, and most people don't even think of that. We serve a God of compassion who, in our distress, he is distressed, and the angel of his presence saved him. I don't know if any of you remember from history something that you may have read about. It's been on public television a number of times, about the mission to Antarctica in 1915. Ernest Shackleton was the captain of a ship that literally got stuck in the ice in Antarctica. And they were stuck for months and months. They couldn't get out. So there came a point in time when the captain, Shackleton, and two sailors told the rest of the crew, we're going to go get help on foot. And here's what they told them. This is what's interesting. They didn't say, we'll be back in a few days. They didn't say, we'll be back in a few weeks. They said, we'll be back in a few months. Give us 3, 4, 5 months and we'll be back with help. Can you imagine having to wait for months? Ernest Shackleton writes about this. I've read it with my own eyes. He said there was a point where the three of them were in some unbelievable, harrowing situation. One time where they were up on top of a 6,000-foot mountain, and the only way down, there was no steps because it was ice. They had to form coils of rope into circles like a snake, three of them, attached them together, and they slid down a mountain at night, 6,000 feet in altitude down to the bottom, and all three of them survived. They were beat up, but they survived. And later, Ernest Shackleton said to the other two, I don't know if you guys felt this, he said, but I felt there was somebody else with us, a fourth person. And one of the other sailors said, you know, I felt the same thing. And the third one said, I felt the same thing. And I thought of that when I read about the angel of God's presence. Is it possible the Lord sends the angel of his presence? I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm not trying to be cute or whatever, but I believe the word of God, the angel of his presence. The word angel means messenger. I believe that you could be an angel of God's presence in someone's life. You ever been to a hospital in a family crisis with somebody and they said, I knew you'd come. You were the angel of God's presence. When you came and prayed for somebody and prayed with somebody and read scripture, I believe you're the angel of God's presence. Anybody can be a messenger of God's presence when God uses you and you're open to being used of God in that way. I'd like to think that God uses people at a 175-year-old church as messengers of his presence, as angels of his presence.
Well, part four continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
Anybody can be a messenger of God's presence when God uses you and you're open to being used of God in that way. I'd like to think that God uses people at a 175-year-old church as messengers of his presence, as angels of his presence. I read a powerful story of that from Shannon from Pennsylvania. Said that she was in church on Mother's Day one Sunday when children were told to bring flowers so that during the service in this small church in a place called Atglen, Pennsylvania, the children could present flowers to their mothers. And so the minister said, okay, now will the children present flowers to their mothers? And it was a big deal as a part of their church service that day. And Shannon says she looked up two or three rows in front of her and she saw an elderly couple by themselves. And she knew that they'd lost a 24-year-old son in Afghanistan in recent years. Nobody came up to them. And Shannon says her younger sister, without even thinking, just walked up to the mother who'd lost her 24-year-old son and presented her with flowers. The woman started to weep in the service. Just so overcome with emotion. You know what that little girl was who didn't know what she was doing, perhaps? She was the angel of God's presence. A simple thing of presenting a flower to a mother who lost a 24-year-old son in Afghanistan. When has the Lord used you as an angel of his presence? I'd like to think that he does. At least once or twice a year with you or me. That somehow you're the person who becomes the emissary or the message of God's presence. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them, he lifted them up, and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So God turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Folks, if you don't go home with anything else, go home with this. The last person you want to be your enemy is the Lord. It's the last thing you want to happen in your life, for the Lord himself to become your enemy. And how did it come about? Because the people of God rebelled against the Lord. How did they rebel? They rebelled with idolatry. The ultimate act of rebellion is idolatry, where you say, I don't worship God, I worship this. I don't worship the God of creation, I worship my house. I don't worship the God of creation, I worship my car. And the list can go on and on. Where we have things in our life, we don't have idols, we just practice idolatry in the United States of America. What's in the story of your life that people don't know about, that would change the story of your life? That's not a guilt trip. We portray ourselves in a certain way. We all do. And sometimes people find out the story. And people find out how we really are. And the person who knows the most about us, of course, is the God who created us and the Christ who died for us and the God who loves us. We are to be true to the Lord as people of God. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, I think, says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God who sealed you for the day of redemption. That's a legal term. To have a document that was sealed meant they were marked with a legal seal that marked it as a special document of the king. And we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Paul says the same thing that Isaiah says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
Well, we'll conclude this standalone message tomorrow from Isaiah 63, Lessons to a 175-year-old Church. Our website is crosshope.org. We've been telling you recently about a new feature on the website. It's called Visual Stories. You can see it as well as listen to it. It's Visual Stories, crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. Now then, today on Cross Hope, part 5 of a standalone message that we began Monday from Isaiah 63. It was a message given to a 175-year-old church as we celebrated that anniversary together that Sunday as a church. God bless you as you listen to this last part today. And remember, our website is crosshope.org.
I want to tell you something today. The reason Crossview Christian Church is 175 years old, by the grace of God. Do you get that? 175 years old by the grace of God, not by luck, not by location, not because of this or that or money or whatever. We are here today by the grace of God. But then I want to take it a step further. You are here today at your age right now by the grace of God. You're still functioning as a person in our culture today by the grace of God, and so am I. And the sooner you realize that, the better. The sooner you realize that, the better. We're all here by the grace of God. Now, if that's true, what's the advice to the church? And what's the advice to you? And what's the advice to your family? Tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised according to all that the Lord has done for us. Yes, Isaiah says, the many good things he has done. According to what? We deserved it? No. According to his compassion and many kindnesses. That's number one. We're going to tell of the kindnesses of the Lord. Secondly, we declare ourselves to be his people. Verse 8, surely they are my people, sons and daughters, who will not be false to me. So the Lord became their Savior. Third thing, verse 9, in our distress, he's distressed, and the angel of his presence saved him. I want to suggest to you that the Lord not only sends the angel of his presence into our lives, he uses you and me to be angels, messengers of his presence from time to time. And then I leave you with this. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Some of you parents are talking about having to carry a son or daughter financially. You know what that's like. Maybe some of you done it a long time. A certified financial planner told me recently that in our culture today, there are older couples who are supporting three families. They're supporting themselves. Then they've got a son or daughter that they're carrying, to use that term. And then they have a grandson or granddaughter who's married and has a child, and they're supporting that family. Isn't that interesting? Three families being supported by an elderly couple. He said that's the culture today in 2015. But I want to tell you who's carrying all of us. It's the Lord God Almighty. And the one who carried you is carrying you. And the one who carries you is the one who died for you. And the one who's carrying you is the one who gave you eternal life, and that life is in the Son. He who has the Son of God, John says, has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I want to go back to my original story of Katie from Columbus, Ohio, said, I do not believe there is an afterlife, and when we die, our bodies would decompose and feed the plants and animals, and so that way we will live on forever in the cycle of nature. How depressing. I want hope that's in Christ. So do you. I want to believe in the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's true for a church. It's true for your family. And it's true for you and me as people, individual people. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.